listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Welcome to those of you listening in the EU, the United States, and all across the world. You know, we are in what communications theorist Marshall McLuhan said decades ago, we are in that global village. Technology and the media has not made our society more dispersed, more fragmented, more set apart. In fact, according to McLuhan, and I agree with him, technology has brought together society into what's called a global village in the tribalistic sense. And where we are in history and where we are in Bible prophecy, in order for you to fulfill your mission, and by the way, no matter what you think with your intellect, God has given you a specific mission, a specific calling. He gave you that before the beginning or the foundation of time, with the expectation that you are to use the gifting, the talents and gifts he's given you. Now, we all know, or at least we should know, if we read our Bibles on a regular basis. And we don't read our Bibles on a regular basis because we're religious wackos. Reading your Bible on a religious basis, on a daily basis, and I'm not trying to put down Catholics, I'm not, but that kind of compulsive reading of the Bible as a legalistic religious exercise is the equivalent of what Catholics do when they get out their, you know, I even forgot the name, you know, their prayer beads, and when they pray, you know, like Hail Mary and stuff like that, and they get out their rosary beads. That is a ritual. Now, a ritual may have value that has nothing to do with the actual ritual performed. A ritual may impart in individuals spiritual power, spiritual wisdom, spiritual anointing that they're seeking. But it's not because that the ritual, like rosary beads, like the... It doesn't happen because in and of themselves, the rosary beads or the various rituals contain any valid supernatural power in and of themselves. The only potential benefit of a ritual, of a rosary bead, of saying Our Fathers and Hail Marys, etc., the only potential benefit is, does the ritualistic performance of that ritual, does it strengthen your faith in the biblical Lord Jesus Christ? Does it strengthen your faith in the power and the salvation and the delivering power of Jesus Christ? And does it spiritually equip you and facilitate a fresh openness to power, authentic power from on high? Because what it's really about in the last day's spiritual battle that you and I are obviously deeply into, anyone who thinks that, well, gee, it doesn't matter because we're just far away from the spiritual battle, the end of the age, Armageddon, etc., that's an erroneous conclusion. We're not far away from that heavy-duty stuff. We are right on the threshold of that heavy-duty stuff. And the appropriate response for all those who are willing to take up their cross and walk with Jesus, which, by the way, is the only appropriate response for believers in Jesus Christ, there's nothing that you can do, there's nothing that I can do in terms of some kind of ritual, some kind of spiritual performance that can satisfy to the degree by faith, and I mean by faith alone, there's nothing we can do that will open the channels, open the portals of the download of the supernatural power of God, both on earth and in heaven, except for those things that God has specifically commanded us to do according to his word. And that's where we are. We are in, and we can't even really proceed in this discussion unless we are fully persuaded through biblical study and research, and that also means the study of Bible prophecy. I hate to break it to you, but you can't afford the luxury of censoring Bible prophecy and the truths of Bible prophecy out of your life. If you choose to indulge yourself in the luxury of imbibing in the spirit of Babylon, the wine of Babylon, and you choose to divorce yourself from the powerful truths in Bible prophecy, you made a choice to do it somewhere along the road. You made the choice to do it, and therefore you need to be mature enough and prepared enough to deal with the consequences, which will be, and it's not a threat, it's just like math. You must be prepared to deal with the adversarial consequences that will happen in your life when you choose to dismiss the Word of God, the authority of God's Word, and things of that nature. When you blow that off the table, when you say cavalierly, that's not important. And the reason that a person would say something so ridiculous and so foolish is because somewhere along the line, they have been deprived of being taught the richest and most powerful biblical truths from the Word of God. See, ultimately, it is not of paramount importance which church you go to, which denomination you go to, etc., etc. That does have an importance. So, for example, if you were to decide in prayer and fasting that you were being led to become a member of a satanic church, well, you are plunging headlong into the rivers of Babylon. And if you're not careful, the tremendous undertow and the tremendous currents of the waters of ancient Babylon will bring you into a dark land of swamps, of lizard creatures, creatures of the night, etc., etc. The only way that you can be victorious, the only way that you can be an overcomer against these very real spiritual adversaries is for you to make the decision, make the choice with an act of your will. You're going to choose, just like right now, the Holy Spirit is dealing with people. And by that, I mean every single person that's listening to me, Paul McGuire, speak. You know inside your inner man or inner woman, you know that at this exact moment, you are being presented with a choice by the Holy Spirit of God. And that choice entails, are you going to choose to synchronize your life, your thoughts, your actions, your choices? Are you going to choose to synchronize all that with the Holy Word of God, which is the inspired and inerrant Word of God? Or are you going to choose, with an act of your will, to surrender to surrender on whatever level to the myriad attacks of the devil, the demons, the powers from on high, etc., etc. You make that choice. Nobody else makes that choice for you. So because we are in that time period known as the last days, all of these spiritual battles that were once placed, let's say, on the back of the bus or packed away are now being brought out in the open. And so once again, because what is being brought out in the open by intercessory prayer, by revival, by teaching the Word of God faithfully, what is being brought out in the open is the need for holy men and women of God to make a choice with an act of their will, which God they're going to follow with all their heart, soul, and minds. And if you follow the true God, the living God, the creator of heaven and earth, you will be, by the promise of God, you will be the recipient of not only eternal life by faith, but you will be the recipient of spiritual power on a level you have never experienced before. And when that level of spiritual power begins to ramp up in your life, you personally will experience a consequent acceleration. And in addition to the consequent acceleration that you're going to experience, you will also experience what it means to be clothed with power from on high, what it means to receive power from on high, what it means to walk under the dunamis power from on high, which translated properly means the dunamis is when the Holy Spirit is released with great power, and the resultant dunamis is the literal dynamite-like explosion of the Spirit of God exploding out of your inner man or inner woman and hitting the proper satanic target and hitting the proper satanic stronghold, which will result in the decimation of the fortified strongholds of the enemy, and it will result in the decimation of demonic powers, demonic infrastructures in this greatest spiritual battle that we are indeed all in the history of mankind, because that's where we are. Okay, so let's get right down to it. Let's focus in. God has given us the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is only applicable, the mind of Christ is only good to the degree that we understand the full benefits of the mind of Christ that are based on appraising the spiritual gifts that God has given us through an infusion of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, also known as power from on high. So we live in a time period that is critical. It's critical. It's like you and I are flying up way above the sky, let's say in the space station or one of these futuristic jet rockets, and we're flying high above the altitude of the United States of America and other nations. And we're using technologies like GPS, satellite technology, etc., in order to make sure, you know, we're not flying into a cliff or something. Now, we're using that technology because we're conscious of the fact that we're not independent contractors. We're not solo rangers. You and I have either voluntarily enlisted or you and I have either chosen to enlist in what the Bible calls the armies of heaven. So, to be blunt, you are either part of the armies of heaven, or you're standing on the outside of the armies of heaven. But when you are a qualified member of the armies of heaven, which comes about through faith in Christ, and which comes about through surrendering your life to Jesus Christ as Lord, you get down on your knees, or you get down on your knees in church or a private place, hiking in the mountains, and at some point, as you're in nature or any other place, you make the decision, the all-important lifetime decision. You make the decision to bow your knee and to bow your heart to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Then you choose to pick up your cross and follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior wherever he will lead you. So then you utilize the mind of Christ. You receive by faith the spiritual weapons of Jesus Christ that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. These weapons are in terms of power, in terms of the dunamis dynamite explosive power of God, these spiritual weapons contain the dunamis, the dynamite power of God. And when they explode through some kind of targeted ignition, they explode with such seismic shaking. They explode with such devastation and intentional deadliness that the dunamis dynamite power of God detonates, releasing the dunamis, the explosive force of God. And that literally drives out with the supernatural electromagnetic frequency energy of Almighty God. It supernaturally drives out and supernaturally purges any vestige left over of any pocket of demonic or fallen angel infiltration that may be hiding in the earth, high in the mountains of the earth, or potentially hiding deep, deep down in secret caverns way below the earth, waiting for their time in history. So when we look at human history on a regular cyclical basis, we see that there are times that happen on a repeated basis in terms of human history where the evil in man's heart, because of man's sinful nature, becomes so egregious, becomes so antagonistic to the plan of God, that Satan, along with his fallen angels, his principalities and powers, the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places, Satan's fallen angels and demons and principalities and powers, the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places, in this vast array of military and militarized, a military and militarized satanic army, starts to rise in the earth and conduct spiritual military attacks of unprecedented violence, destruction, death, and decimation, designed to eradicate, remove, and destroy the children of God so that the eternal plan of God, the eternal destiny of God's children, is blocked. It is blocked because Satan and the armies of hell do a preemptive strike under the direct orders of Satan or Lucifer, who is the temporary god of this present world system. And this present world system is also known as Mystery Babylon. So we see on a regular cyclical basis patterns that emerge in the history of spiritual warfare. So, for example, when God came down to physically visit the Tower of Babel in ancient history, God visited the Tower of Babel. At the same time, he visited ancient Babylon. Now, at that time, Nimrod, who was a powerful human leader, but he was a person that existed with both demonic DNA and human DNA. So Nimrod was a hybrid species because he was a hybrid between demon DNA and human DNA. And he was also a prototype of the Antichrist. So Nimrod was the head and leader of the world's first one-world government, one-world religion, and one-world economic system. Ancient Babylon, at the time of the Tower of Babel, was the world's first New World Order, because it consisted of a New World Order that consisted of a one-world economic system, a one-world religion, and a one-world government. That's what ancient Babylon was all about. Ancient Babylon was a counterfeit of the New World Order. And the Tower of Babel was advanced scientific technology. And the Tower of Babel that Nimrod constructed created a interdimensional portal that allowed into the entrance of the earth interdimensional beings, demons, demonic entities, principalities and powers, the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places, the demonic armies. All of these demonic entities came into the earth, which means they came out of one dimension into the physical earth dimension by accessing the satanic portals built by Nimrod. And these portals, the way they're described in the Bible, is that these portals are stargates. They're stargates because when you translate from the original Latin terms stargate or portal or ancient Babylon or so on and so forth, their translation literally means the gate of God, capital G, or the gates of the gods, small g. So when we look at the Tower of Babel, we see that it is the gate of the gods, small g, or the gate of God, capital G. And what is the gates of God or the gate of God? It is a gateway between the earth realm and the spiritual realm. It's a portal. It's a gate that allows the entrance of interdimensional beings, like fallen angels, etc., along with their technology, to come from one dimension, which would be called the spiritual world, or the dimension beyond space and time. That was one of the intentions of building the Tower of Babel. So in their worship, when Nimrod led worship in ancient Babylon, the people of Babylon marched into the high places of the Tower of Babylon. They conducted an occult worship ceremony, which summoned the demons and the fallen angels. And it was an occult worship ceremony where the people of ancient Babylon stood on the highest towers of the Tower of Babel, and they conducted astrological worship, occultic worship, Luciferian worship, designed to open a door or to open doors in the invisible realm and open gates in the invisible realm, like the gate of God or the gate of the gate of God with capital G or the gate of the gods with small g. And these gates are portals and stargates, and they allow for a massive infiltration of a hierarchy of high-ranking demonic powers to come into the earth. Now, obviously, God can't tolerate his planet Earth, which he created. God can't tolerate his creation, because God says in the Bible that God created men and women, or God created mankind in the image of God. In the image of God, he, God, created them both, male and female. So the male and female of humanity enters the earth through portals, and they can rule and reign because they've been given the authority and supernatural authority by Jesus Christ. And so these demonic powers can travel freely from one dimension to another. So when there is a massive spiritual warfare, and then this series of what I call trigger events throughout human history, what we see in a trigger event, and let's go back to a famous trigger event, the flood of Noah, and what happened before Noah and after Noah, provided an archetypical trigger event. The wickedness, the evil, the perversion of men and women created in the image of God had reached such a crescendo, such a height, that it became disgusting and perverse and rebellious in the eyes of God. So God decided out of his righteousness and justice that he was going to use his authority to destroy the hierarchies of fallen angels and demons and principalities and powers that were attempting to take control of planet Earth. Remember, the driving force continually throughout history, the ever-present driving force throughout human history, is this insatiable desire for Adam and Eve, for Satan, for mankind. They all have an insatiable desire to stop just being human beings, and their lust is to become like gods. Their lust is to become God. And so Satan manages to enroll one-third of the fallen angels to lead the fallen angels into an all-out battle with Satan, Lucifer, and the demonic entities. And they wage an all-out war because it is the objective of Satan to conquer mankind, men and women made in the image of God. And the primary military strategy he uses in winning this military operation is to remove all obstacles that would hinder mankind from becoming like gods. They would destroy anything that would hinder mankind from becoming like God, from replacing God, from overruling God. Because Satan is using a spiritual military coup d'etat, a revolution where Satan's armies and generals and soldiers are waiting for the appropriate moment to strike, and their target is to strike the throne room of God. And when they strike the throne room of God, they have every intention of overthrowing Jesus Christ as Lord, overthrowing Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it is the goal of Lucifer or Satan to kick God out of his throne room, and for Satan himself to sit at the throne room of God in the rebuilt temple of Jerusalem. That's the game plan. And then, as Bible prophecy teaches us, Satan plans to rule and reign all of planet Earth, all of the peoples of planet Earth. Satan plans to rule and reign them by overthrowing Jesus Christ as Lord and overthrowing Jesus Christ from sitting on the throne room of God in Jerusalem. It's a coup d'etat. Now, according to the law of God, according to truth, the only qualified King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the only qualified Messiah, the only supreme being is Jesus Christ. There can be no other God, no other entity, no other being in the history of mankind has been given the authority, the intelligence, the equipping to rule planet Earth as if they were gods. And remember, when Satan is initially attempting to deceive and to seduce mankind in the Garden of Eden, he approaches Eve with these words. Because Satan is saying to Eve, Eve is saying to Satan, we can't eat of the fruit of the tree in the Garden of Eden, because if we do, in that day we will surely die. So Satan has perverted the meaning of God's word, and they falsely believe that if they reject the commandments of God, and if they choose to eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, that in that day they will be stripped of all supernatural powers. They will activate the law of sin and death, and they will lose their supernatural authority and their supernatural destiny, because they committed this one primary sin. They rejected God's word and willfully chose to eat from the forbidden fruit in the middle of the Garden of Eden. And Satan lies and tells Adam and Eve that in the day that you do that, God surely knows that you will be gods, which is a 100% total lie. Disobeying God and eating from the fruit in the middle of the Garden of Eden is not going to promote Adam and Eve into gods. It's going to activate the law of sin and death, where Adam and Eve are cursed. A curse comes upon the human race, and Adam and Eve are infected with the death force, which means their bodies are degrading constantly. And when their bodies finish degrading, they are going to die, and they lose all their supernatural authority and power in Jesus Christ. They are no longer the royal heirs to the kingdom of God. They are no longer joint heirs with Jesus. Now, It's important to grasp this truth and to own this truth, because this is something similar as to what happened when the fallen angels descended upon the earth and they looked upon human women with lust, and the fallen angels decided to mate with human women, which resulted in the producing of a hybrid race that was an illegal mixture between the DNA of God and the DNA of the fallen angels. The product of the mixing of a hybrid race of the fallen angels and human women was that they gave birth to the Rephaim and Nephilim. And the Rephaim and Nephilim were actually non-human creatures who contained a hybrid mixture of the DNA of fallen angels and the DNA of man. Now, this causes and shuts down a massive possibility, because God teaches us that salvation is only available to those who have accepted Jesus Christ alone as their Lord and Savior. And if you try to do an end run around that by human women mating with fallen angels, you end up with a race of hybrid men and a hybrid women. And when you look at that hybrid race, you see that their DNA has been contaminated, and that their DNA is a mixture of human DNA and fallen angel DNA. This activates the law of sin and death. And the other thing that it does is that any being that has non-human DNA in them can no longer be saved, can no longer receive the gift of eternal life, can no longer be born again, can no longer be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Why? Because God has established a rule. The rule that God established is that no being can be saved except for and exclusively human beings, men and women, or mankind, whose DNA is 100% human DNA. If there's been any pollution of that DNA, any mixture or any defiling of that DNA, you end up with a non-human hybrid creature. And a non-human hybrid creature whose DNA has been corrupted and they're no longer fully human, the result is beings that are no longer fully human, whose DNA has been corrupted, they are now officially before the eyes of God, they are now relegated to the status of being non-human. And according to the law of God, anyone who is non-human, anyone who has non-human DNA, they cannot have salvation. They cannot have eternal life. They cannot live forever with God in heaven. The door is shut, because this would be a violation of a primary law of God. And that is why it's so serious that God issued the law that a human being cannot mate with a non-human being or a fallen angel. Because if they do, the DNA is corrupted, and animal DNA and fallen angel DNA cannot be saved, because salvation is only available to those beings whose DNA is 100% intact and 100% human. Now, that's very serious, but God, that shows you just how high a creature that God has made man in his creation. Man alone is being groomed to rule and reign with Jesus Christ for all eternity. Man alone is in that exalted group of beings to which only to that group of beings has salvation been made available to them. So they're trying all kinds of tricks to be saved, but they can't be saved because their DNA says they're non-human. So what happens? Well, what happens is the fallen angels, under the instruction of Lucifer, begin a all-out invasion of planet Earth over a long period of time. And in this invasion of planet Earth by the fallen angels disobey God's commandments, and the fallen angels choose to rebel against God's word, and the fallen angels choose to mate with human women that they find attractive, and these human women give birth to a hybrid race, which is an unlawful mixture between the DNA of God and the DNA of fallen angels. Now, these hybrid creatures that are part reptilian and part human cannot be saved. They cannot experience eternal life. That's it. It's over. The door is shut. So, remember, Satan's lust and Satan's plan to rule and reign planet Earth as God, that has not ceased. So what Satan tries to do, remember, every time a demon or an evil spirit or a principality in power, every time they enter the Earth's physical realm, they need to find a physically human host body in which they can live in temporarily until they find another human-like host body. Why is that? Because according to God's law, demons, fallen angels, principalities and powers, evil spirits, all of these satanic beings cannot be saved and cannot rule and reign with mankind for all eternity. And when you study their behavior in the New Testament, you notice that Jesus Christ has a successive number of confrontational engagements with the fallen angels. Why? Because the fallen angels cannot stay in the earth zone or the earth's physical dimension. It's impossible for the fallen angels to stay in the earth's physical dimension without possessing what is called a host body. Most often a person, but a host body can often be when a fallen angel or a demon possesses an animal, a dog, a beast, or some other kind of non-human creature. Now, it is not a permanent position for Satan. It's a temporary position. But the temporary position of a demon or a fallen angel possessing an animal, a beast, or a non-human creature gives them the temporary legal authority to live in the physical earth realm, to conduct their dark operations from the physical earth realm. In other words, they're allowed to stay in the earth as long as they are staying by way of being connected to a physical host body, either a beast or a human being. So a lot of so-called unexplainable questions arise, and a prevalent one is people ask, I can't believe all this, Paul. So why did the fallen angels and the demons, why did they do all kinds of genetic and reproductive experimentation with the beasts of old, with dogs, with cats, with birds, with animals of all kinds. What was the reason that the fallen angels and the demons were experimenting scientifically and genetically in terms of being able to reproduce using not just human beings, but they wanted to reproduce using Nephilim and birds and beasts and wolves and animals and things like that? See, you have to understand that. You can't like shrink the Bible into the to a box. And the answer is simply this. According to God's law, a demon cannot live in the earth unless it is possessing or inhabiting a physical human or animal or beast host body. And the whole purpose of the animals, the birds, the snakes, and the myriad other creatures that are in the process of attempting to possess the physical bodies, of birds, of beasts, of animals, etc. The whole reason they're playing around with reproductive experimentation with human beings and animals and beasts of every kind is because the demons and the fallen angels are looking for physical, genetic alternatives in terms of entities and creatures that will allow them to, at least on a temporary basis, inhabit all these different animal-like, fish-like, bird-like creatures for the purpose of ruling and reigning in the earth realm. Okay? Now, I'm going to throw something out to you that's very difficult for people to comprehend. And that is, I could initially never understand why in the heck would demons and fallen angels want to conduct reproductive experiments with animals, fish, birds, in prehistory, dinosaur-like creatures. Why on earth would the fallen angels and the demons want to possess the body of all these subhuman creatures and animals? Why do all these experiments? And the answer is because they understand God's law. And so, if they're going to be kicked out of a human body for creating a hybrid DNA, then they have to go to plan two or plan B, which is finding host beings like animals, birds, fish, lizards, etc. And they want to be able to live temporarily in these host bodies so they can begin their plans towards the initial phases of a full-out invasion on planet Earth and a full-out occupation of planet Earth that begins with the enslavement of humanity. So that is the reason, and a lot of people don't understand that. That's why when God sends the flood of Noah, he does it specifically, and if you read the narrative in the Bible carefully, there's some odd twists to it, but God is revealing to us great, great secrets. And if you're willing to be diligent and read the Word of God and study the Word of God, I promise you, through supernatural revelation, God will reveal to you the mysteries and secrets of not only the Bible, but of all of creation. So when you encounter a temporary roadblock, like why would God possibly allow the fallen angels and the demons to experiment reproductively with birds, fish, etc., you don't quit. You don't pick up your toys and go home crying. You persist. You dig deeper. You The Bible says you're supposed to pursue truth with a passion. You're supposed to pursue truth with everything in you. Why? Because in the truth, great secrets, great power, great knowledge is released. So God comes down to ancient Babylon. He notices that ancient Babylon is nothing more than a Luciferian kingdom where the people of ancient Babylon are worshiping Lucifer in their hearts, and they're worshiping Lucifer in their hearts in the model of ancient Babylon, which is in the model of a new world order, now called the Global Reset, mentioned both in Genesis and mentioned in the book of Revelation. And Babylon is the world's first new world order. It's repeated in the book of Revelation. So let's see what God does. Let's see how God teaches his people. So God comes to Noah, okay, and he speaks with Noah. But before we get into that, I just want to mention to you, I have a tremendous amount of research, easy to understand, fast-moving research for you on all of these topics we've talked about and related topics. And it's available to you now at significant financial discounts if you go to paulmaguire.us. That's paulmaguire.us. Also, you can take advantage of the hundreds of hours of my preaching and teaching on our free Roku channel, hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of the Paul Maguire Report radio archives, all my conference messages at Paradise Mountain Church. We have thousands of hours of video, audio, articles, pictures, conferences, just tons of stuff to build you up, and it's all free. The only thing I'd really ask is that you would send it to friends and people that you know that need to hear the truth. Spread the links far and wide. We've made it available to you for free. We also have huge discounts right now on our books, and you need to take advantage of that also by going to paulmaguire.us. That's paulmaguire.us. Okay, so let's look at what happens. Adam and Eve eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden, activating the law of sin and death. Okay, now I want to read something to you, because it's very interesting. In Genesis chapter 6, it says in verse 1, "Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God," that means the fallen angels, "saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose." And the Lord said, so this makes the Lord enrage, because this is a violation of one of God's primary commandments, which is that human women are not to be mating with fallen angels and demons and corrupting their DNA. That's a primary law of the kingdom of God. So it says in verse 3, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his hearts were only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord God said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then it says in verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. So the Lord looked upon the earth. Indeed, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Now, what is this term, all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth? That's not just talking about your standard evil. That's talking about an exponentially higher grade of evil. And we see this. It appears in several places. In verse 5, it says that the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then he says, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Okay, so God is angered. The human race has crossed the line, and God is about to pour out his judgment and wrath. And so we learn this. The earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. Okay, so murder, rape, child abuse, killing, torture, sex trafficking, all of that was exploding. Obviously, it deserves the judgment of God. But then it says, God looked upon the earth, indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. All flesh is every type of creature, human being, bird, bat, tiger, fish, you know, the whole deal, men and women, that's all flesh, had become corrupted. What was the primary way it became corrupted? Through interspecies breeding. They corrupted their DNA. When you corrupt the DNA of all of these living creatures, you pervert their DNA, and therefore you pervert whatever they become in terms of their physical manifestation. So, God's going to wipe them all out. Now, you have to ask yourself the question, why would a good, fair, and loving God completely wipe out, through the judgment of God, a mighty flood? Why would God destroy and kill and flood to death every living creature on planet Earth? If the judgment is coming, as many Christians say, simply because of the evil that the fallen angels did with human beings, if that's the case, then is it fair of God to judge every kind of living creature, every bird, every fish, every animal? Is that fair? I mean, that's like hyper-animal cruelty. How could it be fair of God to wipe out all the animal kingdom, the fish, the birds, everything else? How could that be fair of God to do that? It wouldn't be fair of God. The reason God is judging through the flood judgment all birds and animals and flesh of every kind and human beings and you know, every form of life on planet Earth comes under the judgment of God and is destroyed through the great flow of Noah. Why? Because every single one of these creatures that we're talking about, all the zillions of creatures on planet Earth, the fish, the birds, the lizards, the human beings, the tigers, and on and on and on and on and on, they have all become corrupted. How did they become corrupted? They allowed themselves to mate with demons and fallen angels. And the human beings allowed themselves to mate with fallen angels and demons. This is a primary corruption in the DNA and genetics of mankind. That's why it says all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And how did this happen? It happened because the fallen angels, the demons, and these other satanic beings violated the law of God, conducted sexual reproduction experiments on animals, birds, and flesh, and every kind. And in addition to that, they attempted to impregnate or have the equivalent of sexual relations or reproduce with the fallen angel DNA and the human DNA. They had then attempted to reproduce with every single kind of living creature, which obviously is disgusting in the eyes of the Lord. And the result is God judges them harshly. And the way he does it is he tells Noah what he's going to do. He reminds Noah that the DNA of Noah and his family is pure. The DNA of Noah and his family has not been corrupted. So all the animals, two by two, whose DNA has not been corrupted, Noah, his sons, his sons' wives, and all of those members of the animal kingdom of any kind that did not allow their flesh to be corrupted genetically, all of them were allowed and called to be on the great ark of Noah, which was a boat that was so futuristic and so advanced of its time in terms of engineering that it was both a powerful boat, but it was also a powerful dwelling place upon the oceans with individual massive compartments that could store and house and feed and protect two by two animals, birds, and other kind of living creatures. It could preserve them through a violent flood. And the purpose of the violent flood was the total extermination and the total wiping out of all creatures whose DNA had been corrupted. The flood destroys all of that. So now the human race has to start all over again, reproducing, but they're starting all over again from a clean slate. They're not starting all over again with a bunch of corrupted DNA. And so God sends the rainstorms and the floods. Noah and his family are supernaturally protected. Time goes by. The ark settles. Noah and his family, his wife and his children are released from the ark of Noah. God is pleased with him. And then to kind of signify the fact that they're going to start all over again, like they did in the beginning of Genesis, God says to Noah and his family, be fruitful and multiply. In other words, start over again. And why does God say that? Because God's number one agenda, not the agenda of the globalist elite and the Luciferian elite, their agenda is euthanasia, mass killing, mass death, the mass destruction of DNA with integrity, the total annihilation and destruction of a pure DNA human race. That is the goal of the Luciferian elite. God's goal is to replenish the earth, be fruitful and multiply. Why? Because the Luciferian elite in their hearts is hatred and Satan. In the hearts of Noah and God's people is the divine love of God. And it is God's highest desire with the agape Christ-like love of Jesus Christ for mankind to reproduce as in the manner that God intended, to such an extent that there are now billions and billions of people on planet Earth, and God wants that, and he wants them to be people whose DNA code and genetic code is not hybrid, but it's intact. And the reason for that is God is love, the agape love of Jesus Christ, and it is the passionate desire of God to save every single boy, girl, man, and woman alive. Why? Because God's love is so awesome that he wants to simultaneously have a personal relationship with countless billions of people at the same time for all eternity. God takes great joy in being a gracious Heavenly Father. You see, the world system that we live in is temporarily ruled by Lucifer and Satan. And the globalist elite are the agents of Satan. They are men and women that have sold their souls to Satan and Lucifer. And so they devise satanic plans designed to destroy, to eradicate the reproduction of pure human DNA people. Satan wants them all removed from the earth, whereas God wants them to be fruitful and multiply. And so because the servants of Satan, like these international banking families, they have sold their souls to Satan for enormous power, wealth, money, sex, but they have to do the devil's bidding, which is euthanasia, be willing to start World War III and World War IV to annihilate countless billions of people on planet Earth. In other words, you don't get to be a member of the Luciferian elite without doing this, following his marching orders. And that's what's happening now. The Luciferian elite has stockpiled great amounts of money, military powers, science of all kinds. And they are using a full spectrum arsenal of scientific military weapons that include weaponized DNA, a weaponized atmosphere, weaponized immune systems that are dying prematurely, weaponized agricultural and food development, weaponized atmosphere and air, weaponized aerosol sprays. I mean, the amount of hidden and covert technologies that are being used right now at this second upon you, me, and every member of the human race are staggering. And collectively, they're designed to do Satan's bidding, which is to kill, steal, and destroy on every level. This is heavy stuff, folks. I don't know if it's easy for you to hear. It's not all that easy to deliver. So what do we do in the middle of all this? We recognize, I was watching the lectures being given by Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum and his top-level thinkers. And this one top-level thinker of the World Economic Forum is boasting and bragging about the fact and lying about the fact that, you know, when we look back to 2030 and before, when the human race decided to get the vaccination, decided to allow their DNA to be transformed, that this will be a cause of great celebration because it will be a memorial to the turning point of mankind into a transhumanist creature. This will be the time that mankind will remember and celebrate that it has moved from being mere human to transhuman, that we have become, because of our technology and genetics, we have become like gods. And so every day that's going by, because there's been such a smashing down of the doors, so to speak, regarding the lies, the deceit, the propaganda, and the total stark raving evil of Satan and his work upon the earth, all kinds of suppressed and hidden and censored truths are being shaken loose by a vast army of whistleblowers we're now hearing for the first time the dirty truth about genetically modified organisms, GMO foods, and how they are mass killers, how they shorten the lifespans of human beings on a mass level, how our pharmaceutical industry, and I don't want to, you know, every time something new comes up down the road, can I caution you as somebody whose primary investment of time is doing what I call the research of metadata? You've got to keep your sanity. You can't go gallivanting down every trail and every diversion that raises itself up. I'm not saying that in some of these trails and in some of these diversions, there isn't truth. Oftentimes, there is truth, but you've got to kind of keep a hold on yourself, because the enemy and the devil would do nothing more than to delight in watching you disperse all your God-given energies, talent, and intelligence, and just burn yourself out into nothing, and therefore accomplish nothing. So you have to be strategic, you have to be measured, and my father was the second fastest man in the United States of America when I was a boy. That meant my father was the second fastest long-distance college runner in the world and was going to be sent to the Olympics, except for the war. So one of the things my father told me as a world-class athlete, the difference between a short-distance runner and a long-distance runner, he was a long-distance runner. He said the short-distance runners, they pour all their energy, all their power into a relatively small physical distance in order to win a medal. He said, but I have to, as a long-distance runner, I have to run many, many, many times geographically further than a short-distance runner. So I have to learn how to pace my energy and reserve my energies to win the entire long-distance race. It's two different mentalities. Now, he would have been useless as a runner if he hadn't learned to pace, but he became the second fastest man in the United States of America because he learned to pace in order to win those long-distance runs. I would encourage you to develop the mindset of a researcher, an activist, and an effective Christian, develop the mindset of a long-distance runner, because that is what you're going to need to win the spiritual battle. Okay. Now, we see that just in just about every area, this invisible occult elite that consists of the wealthiest, richest, globalist financial empires in the world, they have infiltrated and they have attacked and they have by stealth taken over medicine, the pharmaceutical industry, the seed industry, the food industry, the drinking water industries, and so on and so forth. And they have done that because they're trying to literally kill off the human population, just like the Nazis. And so it says in the Georgia Tombstones, which I write about in three of my books, I give you different information, they write very sobering, sobering words. And I hope I can find this one passage from you that I was looking up today while editing. By the way, again, I want to remind you to go to paulmaguire.us. That's paulmaguire.us. Hey, let people know about our Roku channel. Send our Roku channel messages that I've given there They're free. We have so much free stuff that will strengthen you supernaturally and deal with subjects that other people don't deal with. So I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to dig deep, because the Bible tells us we're supposed to pursue the truth aggressively. Now, I'm looking for this note that I wrote to myself, and it talks about a lady named Barbara Marks Hubbard, who was a high level member of the New Age movement, a leader, a high occult leader, high up in the United Nations with Rockefeller and other big shots. Barbara Max Hubbard moved with the world's elite, the world's occult elite, and the world's scientific elite. And let me read you something that she said. And I think you'll find it very sobering. Because, okay, this is what she said. Barbara Marks Hubbard, by the way, helped start Lucis Trust, formerly named Lucifer Trust, the satanic organization that was located on the grounds of the United Nations. So, let me read to you something that she said. This must be 30 years ago, to show you the evil that's in these people's hearts. This is what she said, Barbara Marks Hubbard. 1/4 of humanity must be eliminated from the social body. We are in charge of God's selection process for planet Earth. He selects, we destroy. We are the riders of the pale horse, death. Now, this is the thinking of a Satanist. This is not a woman of God. And then she writes stuff like this. In the next 30 years, we can destroy our world with the very same powers, spiritual, social, scientific. We can evolve our world. Our mission is to serve as catalysts for a planetary awakening in our lifetime, to take a nonviolent path to the next stage of evolution. Of course, all of these are outrageous lies. You realize that. Now, I want to read more of what she said. The revelation, our crisis, is a birth. So, Hubbard, the way Hubbard looked at mankind was like stomping out a bunch of ants. And her goal is the same goal of the globalist elite. If you read her writings, it will answer a whole lot of questions regarding the total evil we are really up against, and we are up against it. Hubbard equates the mass killing off of millions of people as nothing more than killing off of useless and evil cancer cells. This act is as horrible as killing a cancer cell. It must be done for the sake of the future of the whole. So be it. Be prepared for the selection process, which is now beginning. We, the elders, have been patiently waiting until the very last moment before the quantum transformation to take action to cut out this corrupted and corrupting element in the body of humanity. It's like watching a cancer grow. Something must be done before the whole body is destroyed. She's talking about humanity. The destructive of 1/4 of humanity must be eliminated by the social body. We are moving from unconscious evolution through natural selection to conscious evolution by choice. So she's calling us to self-evolve. What does that mean? To Barbara Marks Hubbard, unconscious evolution means unconscious evolution by choice, which you, in a fully awake state, choose to murder millions of your fellow human beings like the Nazis, and you are deceived into believing that what you are doing is in behalf of the universe. What you are reading explains the COVID pandemic, vaccinations, food shortages, the potential nuclear war in the Ukraine, Russia, and World War III. Hubbard writes, small islands of coherence in the sea of chaos can shift the whole system to a higher order, which simply means we are the gods that are here to rule over you. That's what these elite think of themselves. They truly believe that they are the gods that have been placed here to rule over us. We are the Luciferian globalist elite, who, although represents a tiny minority, we can shift the whole system to a higher order. It means, just like the Nazis, communists, and totalitarians, we give ourselves the absolute right to destroy you by the hundreds of millions for your own good. You know, that should be bone-chilling to you, that not only she and the other elite believe it, but they have the money, the power, the militaries, and the economic power to carry it out. It's cruelty beyond belief. But then, with Messiah-like delusional ideas about believing that they are gods, Hubbard says, there has always been a longing in the human heart for more just, free, loving, and creative people. But now we can fulfill these goals because we have the evolutionary drivers and the global crises to force change. And we have the scientific and technological powers that can free us from scarcity, poverty, disease, and ignorance. Now here's the thing that is so demonic. 30 years ago, it reveals how advanced their thinking was. 30 years ago, Barbara Marx Hubbard is talking about things that most people don't even know, especially Christians. They don't even know this technology exists today. But the globalist elite knew it was already up and running 30 years ago. Look what Hubbard says. But now we can fulfill these goals. Now we have the evolutionary drivers. What are the evolutionary drivers? There are things like droughts, heat waves, thermonuclear war, pandemics, biochip implants, World War III, World War IV. Those become evolutionary drivers because they create what they call human event level crisis. And the crisis is so great that it forces society to transform itself and thus becomes an evolutionary driver. Into what? Driving us where? Into hell. That's where it's driving us. But now we can fulfill these goals. Now we have the evolutionary drivers and global crises to force change. We have the scientific and technological powers that can free us from scarcity, poverty, disease, and ignorance. But the greater problem is these are all lies because they have no intention of creating a utopia, a world of paradise, a world of love, or a world of plenty. You see, they're not going to come right out in the open and tell you what they're really going to do. So they're going to lie to you about what they're really going to do. They're going to lie to you. And this is some of their lies. Let me read one of their lies. they talk about all this romantic language of prayer and love and giving and community. It makes you want to puke because they don't believe any of it. Those are the cover-up words for their real goal. And their real goal is on the Georgia tombstones, where it says that the present population of planet Earth is something like 7 billion or 7.5 billion, and that our goal is to reduce the human population by any means necessary down to 500 million in just a few short years. So how are they going to do that? And they tell you in their own writings, by nuclear wars, by releasing a successive number of biological plagues, by a World War III, World War IV, by biological warfare, chemical warfare, nuclear warfare, by genetic engineering, by totalitarian dictatorships, and mass kill-offs. These people, make no mistake about it, they got their power because they sold their souls to Lucifer. So in return for their power, their money, and their position, they have to carry out the military orders of their ruler, Lucifer. And that's the deal they have made. And you think all the accidents you keep hearing about the pandemic and COVID and vaccinations and this and that, do you think for a moment that these were accidental mistakes, miscalculations? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They were intentional, they were pre-planned, and they are part of a long-term strategy. Unless God's people are willing now, starting today, to cut the baloney and repent before God and seek the Lord's face, unless we as the body of Christ are willing to do all of that now, we will perish and millions of souls will be lost for all eternity. Our only hope is to follow and serve Jesus Christ as Lord. And in practical terms, that means we must come to the place of repenting over playing church, playing Christianity, going through the outward motions. We've got to repent of that. It's sin before God. It's apathy. And instead, we must replace playing with church with an authentic, real, and entirely biblical commitment to engaging in a law-abiding, peaceful, and strategic new Jesus revolution. A law-abiding rising of the supernatural body of Christ in the spirit of love and in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like peace, love, patience, long-suffering, to not only win souls to Christ at a number larger than ever before, but to incorporate the strategies of God, and to most of all, repent for treating this as if it was some kind of insipid game, and commit our hearts to God, and pledge to Him, and ask for His power, so that we may fight the most intense spiritual battle that has ever happened on planet Earth, which is nothing more than a precursor to the end of the age. Our job is to wake up in the name of Jesus Christ and recognize that we are to occupy what Jesus Christ has called us to occupy until the end of the age, which is the finalization of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.